Bibi.
A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said,
Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.
Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man.
I am willing,
he said.
Be clean.
Immediately he was cured of his leprosy.
In your Bibles this morning, we are in the seventh message from the Gospel of Mark. Our theme today is New Testament AIDS, and reading from the New Living Translation. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared, and the man was healed. Then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. But the man went and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. As a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He had to stay out in the secluded places, but people from everywhere kept coming to him. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, thank you this morning for this beautiful story. Help us to understand its impact and influence, its meaning for our lives in 2014. We'll give you praise and glory for Jesus' sake. Amen. Man got a phone call from his doctor. Doctor said, regarding the medical tests that I have done on you, I have some good news and some bad news, and which would you like? The man asked for the good news first, so the doctor said, well, the good news is you have 24 hours to live. Patient was incredulous. Man, doc, if that's the good news, then what on earth could be the bad news? The doctor said, I couldn't reach you yesterday. Well, the disease that we are introduced to in our text this morning was also a death sentence in New Testament times. Leprosy is now commonly called Hansen's disease. Dr. G.A. Hansen is the Norwegian physician who discovered a bacillus that he called Mycobacterium leprae in the year 1872. During Bible times, this disease was greatly feared for three reasons. First, no known cure. Second, almost always ending in early death. Third, the strict isolation laws surrounding this turned the average citizen into literally an outcast of society. Leprosy appears in two principal forms. The first and most deadly is called lepromatous leprosy. The second kind, the more benign type, is labeled tuberculoid leprosy. Both forms of this dreaded disease begin with the discoloration of a patch of skin. Now, this spot may be pink, it may be white. As you see in the photo behind me, it usually appears on the brow, the nose, the ear, the chin, or as in this photo, the cheek. Often the sensory nerve endings no longer respond to heat or pain in those patches of skin. The patient can be jabbed with a needle, no response whatsoever. Leprosy is generally long-lasting. Lepromatous cases may persist 20 years before causing death. Much progress has been made en route to a cure for even the most severe conditions. I think the most difficult thing the leprosy patient had to face in Bible times was the loneliness of isolation. Listen to these terrifying words from Leviticus chapter 13. The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes. Let him cry out, "Unclean, unclean," as long as he has the infection. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp. And so what despised desolation. And the only way a leper could return to the city was to be pronounced clean by the priest. The obvious parallel disease in our time would be acquired immune deficiency syndrome, AIDS. These people too face almost certain death, even though much progress has been made in finding a cure. Evidently, the man in our story had the non-contagious form of leprosy. He is part of the crowd. Such a man would try desperately to conceal this disease. But the leper saw Christ as his last hope for healing. So he was willing to risk the disclosure of his illness. And with this as our backdrop, I want you to look first this morning in your notes there at the compassion of Christ. Would you write that down? Roman numeral 1 in your notes, the compassion of Christ. The entire scene playing out again behind me on the screen in this video clip is deeply moving from an emotional standpoint. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees. Notice him as he stoops down. He kneels as a demonstration of humility and adoration. The only thing the leper questions is the willingness of Christ. Write that down. He knows that Jesus has the ability to loose the shackles of leprosy. It's a willingness question. Reminds us of the little boy who asks his dad, "Will you buy me that bicycle for my birthday?" The young lad knows that his dad has the power. He has the ability to buy a bicycle, according to the checkbook. But the vital question is this: Dad, will you buy one for me? We should not condemn the leper for adding that clause, "if you are willing," before stating his faith in the fact that you can make me clean. Remember, this is a man who knew only rejection throughout his painful existence on earth. I remember Rodney Dangerfield saying, "I'm so ugly, my mother had morning sickness after I was born." Well, the lepers suffered this agony of separation from family and friends. They were outcasts. They were misfits. They were considered a deformed disgrace of a person in the public opinion. With that kind of foundation for a self-image, do we wonder why he would question Christ's willingness? To the leper, Jesus was this marvelous miracle worker. But would the Savior stoop so low as to reach out to this one who no one else would even dare touch? Many people today, maybe someone right here in this church this morning, view Christ the same exact way. Oh, you don't question Jesus' ability to change lives. You've seen illustrations of His power. But when it comes to your own personal spiritual condition, you're wondering, is the Savior willing to represent your cause before the throne of God? Maybe you feel as if you've committed too many sins. Or maybe the type of iniquity was too scandalous. I want to remind you of these wonderful words in 2 Peter 3:9. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Hear me this morning, dear friends. Jesus is both able and willing. The leper found it to be true, and so is everyone else who has placed their trust in Christ. Next, we see that Christ was filled with compassion. The Greek word comes from a root idea relating to a person's innermost feelings of love and affection. It's a form of pity that is quick to act on behalf of the pitiable object. No doubt the master had mixed emotions. On the one hand, he saw the awful effects of sin as he stooped across this whitened, withered man. But Jesus also felt a strong desire to help, to heal him. What compelling compassion. Our Lord, not only dealing with an individual here, but look how Jesus took time out for one solitary sick man. Let that move you this morning. Our great Savior, the Creator of the universe, stoops to take time out for one solitary sick man. Notice, it's one of the rejected, ridiculed individuals. In this way, we see the kingliness and the kindness of Christ. As King over creation, He has the power to liquidate leprosy. As the kind-hearted servant of man, Jesus cares. He demonstrates compassion. You see, friends, the Messiah had a special place in His heart for the outcasts because He knew of His own forthcoming status as a rejected outsider by the religious leaders. Jesus knew that was coming for Him. Consider something else here. Jesus showed compassion to a person who could never repay His kindness. You know, this woman could never repay Mark's kindness. Never. And it would have been easy for Jesus to care for the needs of the wealthy. Why? Well, they could respond in a material way to express their thanks. But the Redeemer refused to be a respecter of persons. Christ loved the lepers even when He knew they could not reciprocate His generosity. What about us this morning? Are we reaching out to those who we know in advance will never be able to reach back? Or do we avoid the losers and give our time and concern to those who will benefit us later on? There's a lady in this church. She knows who she is. And I've had the privilege of watching her befriend a woman who is mentally challenged. What an example of Christ-likeness. Reaching out to people who we know really can't repay the kindness that we show them. Notice also, Jesus reached out His hand and touched the man. And so on the opaque whiteness of the leper's complete corruption, Christ tenderly places His fingers. Try to imagine how hungry this man must have been for just a simple demonstration of affection like this. Jesus broke away from the traditions of the terrified crowd With an outstretched hand, he says, I care about you. I care about your sickness. Oh, what welcome words. This leper finally kneels in front of somebody who's not afraid to look him in the eye, someone willing to take a chance because he's so deeply concerned. Friends, let's not forget that some of our unsaved friends struggling in the leprosy of sin are waiting for someone to care enough to reach out to touch them. Some of them have had Christian literature thrown at them, but that's not what they need. That's not what they want. They long for someone who will take time for them in person, face to face. I think during our Evangelism Without the Sledgehammer series, I told you about my friend Bob in York, Pennsylvania. Bob was the janitor at the club where I worked out for the 6 years while we lived there. I was there 5 days a week, and Bob and I became very good friends. Every Friday we had donuts and coffee together, something we both looked forward to very much. Bob had never gotten beyond eighth grade, served in the military. I think he was so surprised that someone with my education and my work life that I have as a minister would care at all about him and want to spend every Friday morning for an hour just talking about life. Bob brought his big Bible one day, I'll never forget it. It's the one his mother had given him, and it was huge. About the size of a VW, I think. And as he handed it over to me, boom, tracks just piled out of the back of that Bible, all over the floor. As we were both down there kneeling on the floor, picking them up and gathering them together, I said, Bob, what are these? And he said, oh, through the years, people just would hand me these. I said, Bob, did anybody ever stop to really tell you what the tracks were about or sit down with you and go through them with you? Oh, no. No, they just wanted me to read them. It was my privilege through the course of that relationship to lead Bob to a saving knowledge of Christ. I ask you this morning, are we going to ignore troubled souls when their very life is crying out, unclean, unclean, like the leper here? Or will we follow the example of Jesus? Will we get involved in their pain and share the healing word? And so the Savior says, I'm willing, be clean. The verb clean is the aorist passive imperative. It means be cleansed at once. Clean is that word katharizo, from which we get catharsis. It means to purify, to declare ritually acceptable. In this one brief utterance, write this down. Jesus completely cleansed the leper in both the physical and the spiritual sense. It's the awesome power of the spoken word that makes the leprosy leap away from the leper's body. Christ spoke the word in Genesis, the earth came forth. He spoke the word at Lazarus' tomb, and the dead man came back to life. I love what one commentator said. You know, Jesus had to look in that tomb and say, Lazarus, come forth. Otherwise, everything that was dead would have come forth. The rest of you stay dead. Lazarus! Amen? That's the power of His Word. Jesus speaks the Word here in Mark 1, and guess what? The leprosy comes out. Wasn't it passages like this that inspired Thomas Chisholm to write this great hymn, one of my very favorites? Oh, to be like Thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like Thee, oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as Thou art, come in Thy sweetness, come in Thy fullness, stamp Thine own image deep on my heart. Secondly, this morning we see the command of Christ. That's Roman numeral 2 there in verses 43 and 44. The command of Christ. You know, sometimes people make extreme statements and you say, that's just not believable. Command of Christ here in verse 43 seems almost unbelievable. Don't tell anyone about this. The verb charged means to be moved with anger. Sent away means that literally Jesus was kind of pushing this guy out into the crowd, out into obscurity, trying to get him to just mix in. Two questions quickly arise. Why does Jesus command the leper to be silent? And why is he commanded to go to the priest? Well, let's look at the answers. First, in your notes there, Christ demanded silence because he did not want to stir up any premature violence in his enemies. If the leper broadcasted his story before he had been pronounced clean by the priests, the skeptics could have denied the very diagnosis of leprosy. Jesus always operated under the influence of a very keen sense of timing. He knew that he had another 2.5 years of ministry before his arrest and trial in Pilate's judgment hall. If too many controversial miracles took place in a short span of time, Christ realized his overall ministry would be hindered, it would be shortened. Second, Jesus Christ commanded the leper to show himself before the priest in order to fulfill the law of God as given to Moses in Leviticus 14. Our Savior was careful to follow the cultural lines of authority. Just like we need to obey the area speed limit around town. Amen? Nobody's going to say amen to that. I heard about this woman going through a school zone. Policeman pulls her over for speeding, and as he was giving the ticket, she complained, "Officer, how come I'm always getting a ticket and everybody else just gets a warning? Is it my face?" "No, ma'am," explained the officer. "It's your foot." Christ wanted the leper to be recognized as clean by the local authorities, the same priests who had left this man to die in his withered condition. Little hint of the Savior's strategy, by the way, in verse 44. If some of the priests became convinced that he was the Messiah, it would increase the total effectiveness of his ministry substantially. Now, Mark does not specifically say so here, but it's probable the leper obeyed Jesus' second command, though obviously not the first. It appears the leper was readily believed by the audience. Therefore, we can infer that he had proof of his healing authorized by the priests. Can't you just imagine the reaction of the synagogue leaders? They just love this. "Hey, didn't we send this guy home to die with leprosy?" Of course. Man, he was in the final stages. Terminal case of the worst kind. Well, he's definitely clean now. No sign of leprosy at all. Did you know that similar things are happening today? We hear of patients returning to doctors who had given up, but Jesus touched these broken bodies, and now the person stands before the physician as a shining example of divine power. Oh, what a testimony God has given to some of these suffering saints. In one of the churches that I assisted as an intentional interim in Pennsylvania was a man by the name of Dan. Some years after I'd helped the church, I got word that Dan had had a stroke. He was only in his late 40s. But this stroke took out his ability to speak entirely. He could not utter a word. This went on for a year. He had a little whiteboard that he was using to communicate with people. It was during a worship service at that Glen Rock Alliance Church in Glen Rock, Pennsylvania. Dan testifies that he felt something very warm coming over him. And he just had the feeling that God was going to touch him and heal him. He left the service weeping, and one of the elders noticed him leave and followed him out. Dan went back into a Sunday school room and sat down. And this elder followed him in the room, and for the first time in a year, Dan spoke as clearly as I'm speaking to you this morning. Jesus Christ had instantaneously touched him and removed the effects of this terrible stroke. Doctors throughout the state of Ohio examined him, looked him over, could not believe this. This is our God. This is our Jesus this morning. Next, we see the commendation of Christ. The commendation of Christ. You know, it's usually good to get a good recommendation, especially when the timing and situation are right. But the commendation of Christ by the former leper was both poorly situated and poorly timed. This leaping leper made one public proclamation after another, kind of liked in the video clip where he sort of tackled Jesus. I don't know if that happened. It probably could have. He was so excited, and he just shared the account of his miraculous healing. He blazed abroad the matter, leaving a fiery trail behind him. I don't wish to appear sympathetic to his disobedience, but I think all of us can understand how difficult it would be to keep quiet. Here we have a man that had been an outcast of society, socially and physically wounded, lonely, left for dead. But with one touch of the Master's hand, the locked up leprosy is loosed forever. Sin is shattered, along with Satan's power. I say to you, that event's worth shouting about, and so we must each confess a certain sympathy for this leper's desire to spread the good news. Now, the result of this undesired publicity was Jesus got exiled to the desert outside of Capernaum, according to verse 45b. The city streets were turning to bedlam whenever Christ appeared, and seeing the potential for a riot, Jesus quietly moved his team to that desert location. It was there the Master continued his ministry, and Mark tells us many others kept coming out to the desert to be healed. Christ was patiently waiting for the whole situation to simmer down. You know, this is one reason why no one could ever accuse Jesus of being an opportunist. Christ refused to operate a sideshow ministry, shallowly trying to stir up surface emotional experiences. No, Jesus never would be part of that kind of nonsense. His mission was too sacred. Jesus realized that his popularity in the future would be short-lived. You recall, and we're soon to celebrate all of this, that the same mob who shouted, "Crown this king!" would soon change their tune. "Crucify that criminal. Crucify that criminal." Would we be willing to sidestep the pride trip of popularity as Christ did? Or would we find ourselves thriving on the worship and adoration of the masses? Oh, what an example of the holy humility of our Lord. I want to wrap this up this morning because it would be impossible to touch on this theme of leprosy without referring to a very marvelous truth in Hebrews chapter 13. I have it on the screen for you this morning. "So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates in order to make his people holy by shedding his own blood. So let us go out to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace he bore. For this world is not our home. We are looking forward to our city in heaven, which is yet to come." Now, the context of this passage indicates the writer is comparing the stigma of Old Testament sacrifices with the shame of Christ's crucifixion. In Numbers 19, that process of purification from sin is described in gory detail. And as is often the case, the phrase "without the camp" is employed. The basic meaning throughout the five books of Moses is essentially the same. That which is sinful, despised, and unclean must always be placed outside the camp. Otherwise, those within the camp will be defiled. So, the sacrificial animals became the atonement for sin there in the Old Testament. They were burned to a crisp as a sign of God's wrath, God's hatred for evil. Do you see how these types apply to our sinful reputation and the Savior's remedy this morning? Consider two things. Sin is just like leprosy in that it is a slow killer. Write that down. Sin is a slow killer. Satan has deceived us into believing that we're basically good by nature. He told Eve thousands of years ago, "You won't really die. Come on." Unfortunately, Lucifer is a liar and the father of lies. Human nature has been corrupted with this lethal leprosy of sin since the first man and woman transgressed the law of God in the Garden of Eden. And this disease will lead to eternal death if the cure is not found in Christ. And so just like leprosy, sin is a slow killer. Second, sin is also similar to leprosy because, get this, it dulls the spiritual nervous system. Even as lepers can literally be unaware of rats chewing on their toes, the sinner does not realize that he is slowly being devastated by the devil. Fallen man has spiritual nerve endings that have lost their sensitivity to right and wrong. But you know something this morning? That is such an apt illustration of the way the conscience of our culture has been slowly boiled to death. Just look at the moral lepers in our world today, condoning every sordid perversion of sexuality along with the perjury of humanism. The pedophile tragedy that unfolded at Penn State a couple of years ago, just a recent, painful reminder of this reality. Friends, there is no moral compass, no standard of right or wrong, because the leprosy of sin has destroyed humanity's spiritual, central, nervous system. But as massive as this problem of evil really is, it cannot be compared to the overwhelming solution devised by deity. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates in order to make his people holy by shedding his own blood. Oh, I say to you, it's impossible to fathom this fabulous truth. Christ, the only innocent one, took our deadly sin upon himself. The infection of our sinfulness ate away like leprosy at his precious body. Jesus suffered in loneliness outside the gate, separated from his Father and the angels. My God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why? The Savior bore our reproach so that we could go free. Low down lepers, he died to redeem. Oh, there may be spiritual lepers with us this morning, and your sin is producing moral decay, and you sense your need to do something about it. Listen to me today. Jesus Christ was crucified outside the city gates for just you. Because he took our rejection from God's family, we can now find reception in the family of God. You can be pronounced clean by the everlasting priest. Maybe there are believers here this morning. You have leprous spots of sin. You can be free because Jesus has taken your issue with sin upon himself. Every Christian today, as we close, needs to take a deep look inside. Are we willing to reach out and touch all kinds of sinners? Would the homosexual, the prostitute, the drug addict, the AIDS patient find love and find hope in this church? Could a woman who has had an abortion discover forgiveness through her association with this fellowship? Or would we imply that such souls are too sinful and degraded to deserve our compassion, to deserve our attention? Oh, may God open our eyes to the needs all around us. I'm going to celebrate with a great song here in closing this morning. Let's all stand together as the team comes. I just want to say this morning that if He is calling you and you need help with anything, if we can pray with you about anything in your life, maybe you're not a Christian and this message today was so clear about that and you see the leprosy of sin in your life. I know I speak for Pastor Tyler, certainly for myself, probably the person standing next to you that you may not even know. We're willing, we are more than willing to have a talk with you. Whenever it's convenient for you, please let us know. We would love to help you. There's a Christian here. You're struggling with some kind of lepromatous spots of sin in your life, and you want prayer. We're here for you today. Lord Jesus, thank you for this great song to wrap this up this morning. The same God who healed that leper through the touch of Jesus' hand is calling us today, right here, right now. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank you for saving this leper by the name of Tom. So full of ugly sin. And you saved me. I thank you this morning. Every one of us has that testimony that knows you today. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We bless you today. Lord, we pray as we go from this place, it won't be from your presence, but with your presence. For Jesus' sake, amen. God bless you.